Hello. Welcome back to another episode of Anxiously Artistic. I'm your host, Dr. Alondra Shealy. It has been a while since I've recorded, and I have been so busy and wrapped up with work. And I haven't even been writing a lot of prompts or even working on the prompts that I have already started for this podcast. But there's been something that has been weighing heavily on my mind for weeks, if not longer than that now. And so I decided that I probably should talk about that thing because it greatly impacts how I work here recently. Or actually, over the past few years, it's been impacting how I've worked. Now, I will admit that another reason I have not recorded is because I have been so ill. I had a stomach bug one week, got well, and turned around and got hit with COVID. And so it was just a maelstrom of things happening at one time. But here I am, you know, rootin' tootin', ready for shooting, ready to get back to this thing. So what do I want to talk about? Years ago, when I was in high school, I took a fashion design class, or at least that's what it was called. It was probably just homemade that they split up. But I took both parts of it, fashion design and a food dynamics course, and thoroughly enjoyed those things. Though I don't really call myself a domesticated person, I think they probably couldn't be farther from the truth. But I digress. I remember taking this course, and Dippa was my teacher. That's what I called her, because that's what her grandchildren called her, and she told me it was quite all right. But lovely woman, lovely lady. She was a far cry better than a previous home ec teacher that I had had in a different school district. And we were there to learn how to sew. And this was my first foray, I want to say, with embroidery. Funny enough, with embroidery machines, Debra was responsible for that. I wish that she knew now. But anyway, I've always loved to sew. Ever since I was in grade school, like elementary, middle school. And I distinctively remember Debra having this closet that had tons of fabric, just rows and rows and shelving and shelving full of fabric. So I would go in and I would grab a couple of pieces occasionally, and I would make things for people because that's what I like to do. So I remember making a bag for a friend of mine, and I embroidered her name on there for a friend of mine at the time. And funny enough, I saw someone else with that bag and I got so confused. I kind of worked with my aunt, who is a beautician, who's a cosmetologist. And I just, I remember working one Saturday and this girl coming in with this purse. And I recognized the purse, especially with this girl's name on it. And I wasn't working with her. I think another stylist, she was another stylist client. I danced around for a second because I don't like to necessarily be confrontational. But I just remember dancing around her for a while, and I just kind of warmed up and I was just like, hey, how'd you get that purse? And so she ended up telling me that she was my friend's brother's girlfriend. I was like, okay, because I made that bag, and I'm so funny. So it was nice to see my stuff out in the wild, so to speak. But that's not the point of this. The point is, I ended up making myself a bag out of this white moire fabric. And moire fabric is just a dense fabric with a wood grain texture on it, right? And it was, I think it was white, or maybe the moire fabric was red. I don't remember, but I remember the shell of it being white and the lining of the bag being red. And it was a big tote, and I wanted it for my books. When I went to the library, I wanted something to be able to schlep my stuff from place to place when I was not at school. And I love this bag, obviously. And there was another girl in that course with me whom I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to. Like, we were acquaintances. We were, you know, associates or whatnot. And I remember seeing her give a mutual friend of ours like the almost exact same bag, right? Now, I don't shy away from asking people's people questions if I feel like I want a response. And I just remember going up to her and I was just like, hey, what you doing? Kind of a thing. Just like, oh, I made one just like this. Like, you know, where'd you get the idea from or something like that? She was like, oh, I like the one that you made. And I wanted to make one for our friend. So I just thought that was so peculiar to me, right? I couldn't fathom someone copying, let alone me. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I made what I wanted to make. And the thing about creativity is that you can never use it up. So if you just tap into your own, you'll make what you want to make. And I don't know, like that kind of disturbed me for it. It rocked me a little bit. So I've always been very, I don't know, like iffy with copying. But here recently, well, in the past, I don't know, few years, I suppose, I realized that I have a lot of friends online or a lot of mutuals online, and they're also creatives. And one thing about it is they may come up with an idea and I may also come up with a similar idea at the same time, even though we're on different corners of the world. And I'll be working in the background, not necessarily showcasing, but this person will pop up and be like, hey, this is what I did. And now I feel, because I have a weird relationship with the perception of copying, I take a step back and I never display my work because of it. And I just realized, like, I don't know if that's a trauma thing or if it's just a discomfort thing. I don't necessarily think it's, I would go on to say that it's trauma-laden, but it is a very discomfort thing where I'm just like, you're not about to call me a copier. I don't do it. I'm not a copycat. But like, I forget what the term is. There's a phenomenon where one person may have this idea and another person somewhere else may have the same idea. They may work at it. And then one person may, you know, of course, being more outgoing, may pop up and like, hey, this is what I've done. And I'm usually the person that is always sheltering my work because I'm just like, no, I can't give it to the world until it's ready. But that is such a grave disservice to myself. That is an immense disservice to hide what I do from the world. And those of you who are also the same, hide what you do from the world. Like I was thinking and reflecting yesterday and it was just like, I do so much stuff behind the scenes that it can be my downfall at times. And is that what I really want? Right? How do I ask the Lord, right? To say, Lord, I want you to bless me in this way. I want to have this business and yada, yada, yada. And I won't push my stuff out to the masses. Now, I don't like putting out incomplete products or projects, but I do like in the work, like in progress works and like showing progression steps, which is a bit of a conundrum for me. But there's something I definitely need to work on, like the idle mindset, I suppose, when it comes to that sort of a thing. The thing is, though, people want the way that you display things. They want how you work. People like your art style. People like my art style. People like my renditions of ideas. I remember that several years back, I was working on a patch design. I think it was like Phenomenal Woman because of the late, great Maya Angelou. And a friend of mine also like at the same time put out a Phenomenal Woman pin. And I was just like, and we're part of the same like coalition. So I just distinctively remember saying to myself like, nope, not doing that. There's no need for me to put it out now because she's already put out something that works. And so I'm just like at this point where I'm kind of over that. Like this dead on the water type of mentality, it's not productive in any sense of the word. There's just, there's nothing good that comes of it. Yes, someone came up with a Phenomenal Woman pin. Yes, I came up with a Phenomenal Woman patch. But the funny thing is, neither one of us came up with the phrase Phenomenal Woman. And I was trying to hide behind for some reason, like, oh, I can't do this. And it's like, neither one of those were our original ideas to begin with. So what is the problem with how she chose to display her artistic expression and how I chose to display mine? There are tons of people that do, you know, feminist work. They're my bookshelves are filled with lovely people who write about feminism, about Black feminism. But that does not stop, you know, one person from putting out a text talking about her brand of Black feminism versus another. Like, the anthologies that I have filled with Black women saying the same things or very similar things does not make me not love all of their words anymore or any less even. And I think that's the same thing that happens with us. Yes, there are tons of books. There are tons of books saying the same thing. There are tons of whatever saying the same things. And while some things may be blatant, outright copying, I think the general consensus is that a lot of it is not, right? We all live, we all experience things, and we all have a wonderful perspective from our eyes of how things can be displayed and how they can be handled. I mean, unless it's just immoral, right? But that's not the point. The point is, we shouldn't shelter or keep ourselves from putting out what our heart needs to push out for the mere fact that somebody else is doing the same thing or something. Somebody else is doing something similar. Like, I follow tons of accounts on all my social media platforms, and a lot of them are doing some of the same things, but I like how everyone puts out things individually. I follow a lot of cooks, mostly because I love food, obviously, but it's not just about me loving food. I like how food is curated. I like how ideas and recipes are curated. I like to see a lot of farm to table sort of things happening, and everyone puts things together differently. I've seen many people with gardens, from their gardens to plate kind of a thing, produce some of the most amazing either canned goods or, you know, farm fresh dinners right there. And I like how it is put on. I just really, and everybody has different tastes. Some people are vegetarian, some are not. But just this culmination of ideas that everyone puts out is a beautiful thing. And those in turn give me ideas and, you know, in summation, make me who I am. And I think the same thing occurs when we start to display our art. I've just kind of like taken a backseat to talking about my print shop experience and like my printing. Like, I've just kind of put it on the back burner a little bit because it's just like other people I've seen do glorious prints. And it's just like, girl, you built an entire print press. That's something. That's something to be proud of and to talk about and to like work with. Like, you didn't just make it as a one-off thing. Like, girl, go for it. I have a stamp burning machine, and so I've burned my own stamps for my business, and I don't talk about that much. Like, I've posted videos about it in the past, but like, I just make the stamps and I go. What else? I have done lino cuts. Like, I took a print making and art class years ago, many years ago when I was a kid. My mom got me into these private art lessons, and so we learned how to make rubber stamps and all kind of different stamps. And so I still have some of that artwork to this day. But I shout out to Miss Cecilia. She was a lovely, lovely woman. But I have all of this wealth of and breadth of knowledge, and I just sit on it. Like, I don't display it. Even with this podcast, like, I was doing really well with posting it, and then I just took a break from like editing because work got busy, and I'm using that as an excuse. But like, girl, come on. And then now recently I've bought, and I told myself I was going to do this years ago, but I bought a 3D printer, and now I'm like, all these ideas are rushing through my head, but like, there is this account that I love that does amazing like 3D prints, and I'm just like, ooh, I don't do what she does. Like, I already found myself trying to compare to what she does, and I was just like, no, we gotta stop, leave that copycat syndrome alone. Like, that's, you're not a copycat. I in fact avoid people's like accounts that I feel like I might follow, or like, or I'm like, may impact how I do art, because I don't want to come off and say like I was super inspired by them to the point that I copied their whole shtick. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do any of that. I want to be able to take my sketchbook, my pens, pencils, whatever medium, and like sit down and let's go. Let's draft some stuff out. Like, I've already been trying to learn how to 3D render so that I can like start pushing products out. Like, I was talking to my partner about like, hey, I thought about doing some cookie cutters and cookie stencils or whatever, cookie stamps with some of my illustrations, because I think they would be cool to have little fat lady cookies, you know, at a party, at a tea, you know, a tea party or something like that. And he was just like, yeah, that's a great idea. So I'm just thinking about how can I draw myself away from, hey, you're copying, to, hey, you both can be inspired by an event that occurred or an ideology that exists already or whatever. And like, lino cutting has been around forever. I've taken lithograph courses. I've taken like almost every kind of art class you can imagine except for sculpting. And that was something I couldn't get into, but I plan on getting into soon. And so, being so well versed in all these different art forms, I feel like sometimes a jack of all trades, master of none. But that's just, couldn't be far from the truth with anybody, right? If you started it and you work at it, baby, go ahead and be that master, okay? We deserve to display art, and I've said this times before, we deserve to display the art that we make and how it matters. And other people deserve to see it and to benefit from it, whether they're inspired by it or some other mood. You're not a copycat, because you come up with something very similar to somebody else from your own brain space. So long as you weren't just like legit copy, like studying people, right? Like a lot of high-end fashion designers are doing to smaller designers now. Like, we ain't going that route. We're not going that route at all. But just sit down with your sketchbook, your sheets of paper, whatever it is that you use, and like hammer at it and show it. Like, if somebody don't like it, let them not like it. But don't shy away because you put this own fear before yourself, or you've put this own this boundary that does not exist before you. That's harmful. That's harmful to you. So, just really wanted to get that off my chest today. Thank you so much for joining. If you have stuck around this long with me in this podcast, I appreciate you. Thank you for your service of listening. Until next time, bye.